Welcome to the Portage County Safety Council podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's safety chat.
Hi, this is Nick Coy with the Portage County Safety Council, and today here we have Mike Thompson, our council manager. Welcome, Mike.
Thanks, Nick.
And we also have Pat, who is one of our steering team members.
Thanks, Nick. Good to be here.
Glad to have both of you here, and we're speaking today about safety culture, and culture seems to be a big thing. We're actually seeing some drive behind OSHA about culture and trying to change how people interact. And with that, Pat had an interesting topic that we really wanted to cover, and it's how the Hawthorne effect is applied to safety. And I think this is a great topic. So can you tell us a little bit first, what is the Hawthorne effect, Pat?
Yeah, I'll be happy to. This kind of attracted my attention years ago when they sent me to foreman school back when I worked in manufacturing, and they taught us a lot of old theories. But the Hawthorne effect just stuck with me. A little bit of history first. From 1924 to 1932, there were some studies done at a Western Electric plant in Cicero, Illinois. It was called the Hawthorne Works. The part of the studies that everybody remembers is the illumination versus productivity study, although there were lots of other variables such as housekeeping, the effects of moving workstations, brake length, things like that. But the illumination versus productivity kind of makes the point. The idea was to measure how changes, either increases or decreases in illumination in the plant, would affect the number of quality parts that were produced for telephones. It was found that any change in a variable, whether it was an increase or a decrease, usually caused an increase in productivity. So they turned up the lights and they had an increase in productivity. They turned the lights down to their original level, they had another increase in productivity. Then they dimmed the lights and they had an increase in productivity. The increases weren't permanent. They leveled off and gradually reduced back close to normal, but it was an interesting concept. And later on in the 1950s, some other folks analyzed this data and came up with the theory of the Hawthorne effect. And one theory, or one explanation, I guess, is that the Hawthorne effect is not so much due to the variables that are changed, but rather it's workers reacting to the sympathy or empathy and the interest of the managers or the observers. In fact, some people call it the observer effect rather than the Hawthorne effect. How that applies to safety, experience shows that almost any safety process, program, whatever you want to call it, that you institute new works, at least for a while. You do something new with safety, no matter what it is, and it usually results in some improvement in safety performance, reduction in incidents, reduction in severity, whatever, when it's rolled out. Over time, that effect often decreases back toward the norm. Then we try something new, and it works again. So we think that what we were doing before wasn't as good as what we're doing now, and then we keep doing that in cycles, rolling out different things, trying different stuff, and getting basically the same effect. We roll it out, it works, then it goes back toward the norm. We see that with behavior-based safety. We see that with safety audit programs. We see that with lean management and safety huddles. So my gut feeling is maybe the Hawthorne effect explains why nearly every newly instituted safety program works for a while. So maybe instead of putting our faith in programs, maybe we need to place our emphasis on interacting with employees. The observer effect or the Hawthorne effect seems to be strongest when people are out there observing or interacting with employees. And when that goes away, things go back toward where they were before. Things like, I forget who it was that had the process they called management by walking around. Just be out in the plant, be seen, be available, listen, and be open-minded to the input that you get from the employees. When you involve the workforce, it builds what we call a positive workplace culture. A lot of folks talk about safety culture. I prefer the term workplace culture because so many other things besides safety are affected. If you have a positive workplace culture, it affects not only safety, but productivity, quality, yield, environmental performance, and these days, a really important variable, employee loyalty, getting people to stay with your company. We're in the middle of a tremendous labor shortage. It's hard to find people that are available to hire because everybody that wants to work is pretty much working. So they don't feel a lot of company loyalty, they leave. But if they enjoy where they're at and you're good to them and they think you're interested and they have some input, they're more likely to stay there.
Yeah, Pat, you make two interesting points with this Hawthorne effect. It's just real interesting to me. The first is what I always hear is, what do you do to promote safety at your workplace? We hear a lot of members talk about, you know, we have a little team meeting, we have a rally, we have a company picnic, the winner, the safest department gets a steak dinner, and they always say they have results, but it always fades away and it goes back to the new thing. So that's real interesting. The second thing is we were talking about is engagement. Now, what we were talking about earlier, actually through email, you said there's a difference between safety culture and corporate culture, and that's a really big deal. I've seen a lot of companies struggle with this. So they go all gung-ho on safety culture, not realizing that their corporate culture is actually undermining their safety culture and performance. Have you seen this with your experience?
Absolutely. You know, it almost gets down to what the retired and now deceased fire chief in Phoenix, Arizona, Alan Brunicini, he had very short and simple rules. And his rule for dealing with not only their customers, the city residents in Phoenix, but also for the fire department managers to deal with their employees was a two-word policy, be nice. And that kind of wraps up the whole thing. You can build a great culture just around be nice, be interested, listen more than you talk, things like that.
Well, and I think the Hawthorne effect, looking at the employee engagement, is so important. Companies I consult with, I see all different levels of safety engagement. Companies that are really engaged in safety to companies that just, we do it because we have to do it. And those companies who do that one-hit wonder, where at the beginning of every year, they say, we're going to do safety training, we're going to take everybody off the floor for 8 hours,
right.
We're going to punch through this, everybody's gung-ho about safety, and they're excited about it for about a month, and then it goes away.
Sure, and toward the end of the year, we got to save money, we're not going to do any of that stuff.
Yeah, and they're not even thinking safety. And then I have the companies who do it on a monthly basis, and they engage in some type of topic on a monthly basis. And it works, and you see safety on the forefront of people's minds typically, but it starts to fade towards the end of that month. The companies that I see the greatest engagement from are companies that use toolbox talks. It doesn't matter the topic, in my opinion. It's just planting the seed of safety on a weekly basis. And it's just 5 minutes. At the beginning of the week, we talk about safety. 5 minutes every week. Now it becomes the forefront. It becomes part of that culture. And it's because they're continually engaging, we're seeing more involvement and more safety processes in place. And employees stopping and say, wait, this isn't safe. We need to react to it.
Involving the workforce means involving all the workforce. It doesn't mean having a safety committee that meets once a month and has a lunch and goes out, makes a laundry list. Everybody needs to feel like they are part of the family, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it. Just walking through and saying hello to people, learning their names. It's surprising how many plant managers of small plants, 100, 150 people, don't know the names of the people that work there. Sometimes that's because they come and go. They haven't been there for very long, which is part of the labor shortage deal, I guess. But part of that's because they don't get out on the plant floor often enough. Say hello, watch how they do the job, ask them for input, ask them why they do it a particular way. Try to keep the discipline and the nastiness out of it if they're not following the proper procedure. Find out why. Don't just resort to discipline. There's a reason why people aren't doing the job the way you think they ought to.
You know, I had worked with an organization once, and we had guys that were called in for an emergency situation, and they worked all through the night. They left their families at home, came in and worked, and we were working on some culture pieces within that organization. And that morning, I went to the department heads, and I said, listen, we had a long night for everybody. Go out there and thank everybody for their hard work. It goes a long ways. And I had one department manager look at me and say, Nick, their paycheck is their thanks, and walked out the room. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's why your division's struggling, is because you don't go above and beyond. And those simple thank yous or, hey, good job with safety, go a long ways, and you get more reaction from positive influences that way than going out and tell them, hey, this is what you did wrong.
And it costs nothing.
Yeah, it doesn't cost anything to be nice, right?
It's free.
Yeah, and Nick, this reminds me of a podcast we did earlier in the year regarding the Auburn study on safety and how it's relevant to culture and perceived organizational ethics and support. There was four main criteria, if you remember from that study. The first two were more at the macro level. Safety performance was directly correlated to an employee's perception of, one, organizational ethics and perception of organizational support. So it doesn't matter whether the manager thinks the company is ethical and they're supportive of the employee. It's all a matter of the employee's perception. Mm-hmm. The other two criteria were about interpersonal relationships, especially with their frontline supervisor, seemed to be the most important according to the study. So what they labeled that is leadership membership exchange and genuine management safety concern on the manager. Does my manager really care about my safety, or is this something to save him money? Is just another poster on the wall? And that disconnect and that relationship actually is directly correlated to the performance of the safety, which is mind-blowing to me. Sometimes when we're dealing with lockout, tagout, and these type of things, that's real straightforward mechanical. You do step 1, 2, 3, A, B, C, D. Maybe the issue why we're not getting more compliance in the area is because the employees aren't really hearing or buying into the message that's coming from the managers. So maybe I think we should continue with the practical 1, 2, 3, 4 A, B, C, D steps. But maybe this is much more social and relational than most of us in the safety world talk about.
Well, I think we have to keep it fresh also. Mm-hmm. We become numb to things. You know, when you drive that same route to work every day, you'll see that speed increase for everybody a little bit because we become comfortable in that. And so, and I think the Hawthorne effect shows this repeatedly, that it's an adjustment. Doesn't mean if it's an adjustment up or down, any adjustment brings it light to the concern. So we have to continually keep our safety programs new and fresh and different ideas coming through. They don't have to be expensive ideas. We don't have to tear the whole program apart and start from scratch. We just have to continually engage. And I think that's where safety runs into problems. A lot of companies make their safety manager wear multiple hats. It's the HR person and safety manager and payroll person and this person. They start to see good numbers, and so safety gets put on the back burner. And then when those numbers start to become bad, all of a sudden they start engaging and they see the numbers come back down. And it becomes this roller coaster ride because we're not continually engaging that. And I think that's exactly what they found with Hawthorne, is that it doesn't matter if we turn the lights up or down. As long as we were doing something, we're getting good results.
That's the way I read it. Exactly. One thing that you pointed out, and I have it scribbled down here as a note, as a caution. As you're out there engaging with people, they'll know right away if you're not sincere. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got to be real. And if you're in charge of hiring supervisors or hiring managers, how they interact with the people that work for them is a big point in hiring.
I'm a big advocate for leadership training because you see this in sales, you see this in manufacturing quite a bit, where maybe this guy ran this machine faster than anyone in the last 10 years, and he knows it like the back of his hand. But now, so we're going to promote him as a manager. But he might have not 1 ounce of people skills,
yeah, maybe,
or management or leadership skills.
Maybe he was the best operator because he didn't like people, so that's the only thing he did.
Exactly. So now that person becomes a manager, and then maybe their only way to deal with that is to maybe be more of a temperamental issue. So here we have conflicts and issues that rise up as leadership rather than having a healthy exchange. One thing that I learned in social services dealing with conflict management is whenever two people start talking about an idea, so let's say there's an injury or there's a risk involved, and you and I pass start talking about it, we automatically become face-to-face. And just the context of how we become face-to-face, it sets us up for conflict. Whereas if you take that issue, that safety issue, and you kind of look at it, if you actually watch people's body posture, it actually turns like a triangle. Whether you're talking to a person or talking about a third, if you make that safety issue a third person in the argument, it becomes less confrontational. What actually happens is we look at it as like a third person. We say, hey, what can you and I team up to do about this? And so now that person's defense mechanisms don't pop up, a wall don't come, and it starts becoming a blame game. How many times have we ever had to do some kind of recalibration or correction or discipline, and it's, well, will you do this? Well, that's not the point. The point is, you're not safe how you're driving the tow motor.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this and not take it personal. How can we fix this so we can have a safer place to work?
Great point.
And I think, you know, for our listeners listening to this episode and thinking about this Hawthorne effect, what do they take away from it? What can I do different today because of this conversation? And for me, I think the piece that I push hardest with my customers is more frequent engagement of safety. And it doesn't have to take a lot of time. People take more than 5 minutes on their smoke breaks, their lunch breaks, or bathroom breaks. If you can get management to buy into that, I think you're going to see results over a long-term piece. You're going to see better production, better quality, better safety, because we're starting to engage them. It's a trickle-down effect. Pat, if you could tell them, hey, here's one thing that you should change or do a little bit differently from this conversation, what would you have them do?
Get out of the office and get out in the plant.
Just start socialize with the people.
Yep.
and see what's actually happening there.
Exactly. And engagement doesn't necessarily mean taking people off the job. You can talk to them while they work.
And you can tell, at least I can, when I go out and visit companies, the safety managers that do that. Because they'll walk by and they'll turn around and go, hey, how's it going? You know? Or I can tell who serves the role of safety cop, because as we walk out, I see this. Safety glasses come down, we walk by, I look back over my shoulder, and all of a sudden safety glasses are coming back up. You know, they're playing that safety cop role. They're not really engaged in it, and they're not having a good effect. You know, from the social side of things, Mike, what did you think something that we could take away from this and really engage for our customers?
You know, as you're talking about engagement, you know, it's funny. I've done like different types of presentations and looked at research from Sherman, some other places on different things. This engagement is all the same. Whether you're talking about safety performance or turnover or job satisfaction, it doesn't matter what aspect you take this from. Engagement is the number one key, and it looks different. One company, it might be the employees has more one-on-one time with the supervisor. In other studies, it showed something different. Now that's going to be a little unique depending on the role and the relationship and the job test that has to know. But the same things that reduce turnover for a company is the same things in that culture that'll help improve safety. That's the mind-blowing thing. So if there's one takeaway, is engage your employees, be positive, create, make them feel comfortable to come to you. If they don't feel safe, if they feel threatened, you know, what good is a sign on the wall that says be safe and safety first and all this stuff with your numbers if they're running a machine and they have a split second decision? Am I going to lose my job if this machine shuts down again, or am I going to be safe? And that split second decision, what's called loss aversion, could be enough for them just to take a risk in that split second and get their fingers caught in that machine, and there goes the numbers. So what is it really doing? Engage your employees, make them feel safe that they can come to you, talk to you, and listen to them.
So I want to thank everybody for talking about this subject. I think this is a great subject, the Hawthorne effect. And there's a lot of research out there on that. A lot of safety professionals reference this in their presentations. You know, just keep it fresh, keep it something new. Engage your employees, and you're going to see some results from that. You know, this is that one small step you could take today to make a change in your culture, not only your safety culture, but your company culture, and see a return on your investments. Thank you both for being here today, and everyone be safe.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. To learn more about how your company can earn up to a 4% Ohio BWC premium rebate by becoming an active member of the Portage County Safety Council, please visit our website at www.portagecountysafetycouncil.wordpress.com. The preceding information is for entertainment purposes only. Views expressed may not reflect the views of any affiliated or sponsoring individuals or organizations. Listeners should carefully weigh information provided and seek advice from an appropriate professional before implementing. Listener discretion is advised.